warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, and we raise our glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with my co-host, best friend, David Niles.
Hey.
Dave, it's good to have you back. Hey, how cool was it to have Patrick Coffin on the last episode? Dude,
that was so awesome.
It was so much fun. I had a great time. I think everybody who probably listened to it knew that I had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, that really was just super cool because he's been one of our idols forever.
Yeah, he's like our Catholic, like, you know, there's kids like grow up with sports figures, you know, that they look up to. You know, these last five, six years, we've grown up a lot spiritually looking up to guys like Patrick Coffin.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely the most famous guy in Catholic radio.
Probably. I mean, outside of maybe Archbishop Fulton Sheen.
Yeah, but, you know, really, I think there's a lot of people who don't know the Sheenster.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I wonder what he's thinking about us calling him the
Sheenster. Your Eminence, the Sheenster.
Yeah. Well, hey, welcome to the Catholic Man Show. If you caught us on podcast or on St. Michael Catholic Radio or on Breadbox, we're about to be in the Louisiana market, the Lafayette, Louisiana Christ the King Radio. If you guys have caught us on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, welcome. We're so glad that you tuned in. And this is going to be a fun show, so sit back and relax. We've already given you the warning that this is a manly show. We do manly things. Dave, we do three things that are manly.
Well, everything we do is manly.
Right, but we have three,
I know what you mean.
Three points of manliness.
3 points of contention.
Yes. What are they?
That the listener must, they need to deal with.
Right.
The first thing, and I want to get to it immediately, is the manly beverage.
Okay.
And we do that. That's the first thing. We're about to do it. We've got a couple manly beverages today, which is a special treat for us as the drinkers.
Yes.
And for the listeners, too, because we're going to cover two things. The second thing we do is highlight a man gear.
Mm-hmm.
Things every, especially Catholic man, should know, should have and use. And the third thing is we discuss a manly topic. So we've got a really full show today, I think.
Yeah, we're biting off a lot.
So,
and that was a pun.
Here we go.
You guys didn't even know it yet, but that was a pun.
Ooh, good one. I did not catch it, but that is a good one.
Thank you.
It is good.
Thank you. Hashtag now Adam. Adam is the Babe Ruth of Catholic jokes.
Now you don't need to tell a joke.
No, I already have. I still have one.
No, but you don't need to do it.
Yeah, but I'm still going to.
Okay.
But it'll be the third break.
Okay.
Or maybe the second break.
Okay.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So, yeah, like you said, Dave, we do a man beverage every time, and whether it be a whiskey or a beer or a mixed drink. We highlight a manly beverage because God made it, and it is good. And we do it not in any way, shape, or form to be insensitive to alcoholics or people who struggle with alcoholism.
No, I think we're insensitive.
That's why I'm saying it.
Okay. Good.
You're confirming what I just said.
I just wanted to confirm what you just said.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because we realize that is a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
And to know thyself and know issues that you struggle with and vices that you have.
Ego a me.
Exactly. That's a manly virtue.
I'm pretty sure that means know thyself. But if it doesn't, like, probably nobody knows that it doesn't. You know.
Right. Unless Thomas Lackey was listening.
That's true. He would know.
So anyway, thank you so much.
Lego my ego.
Let's get going on this man beverage.
You
tell,
know what?
Tell
also,
what it is.
We've got this Drinking with the Saints book here that we talked about a while back. We still need to do a beverage out of here. Maybe next time. We'll see.
Okay.
But this week.
Yes.
Well, the first beer. We got two beers today. The first one we're doing is Two Hearted Ale out of Michigan. It's Bell's Brewery.
Okay.
Fantastic IPA.
You picked both of these. So.
I picked both of these. This is really. I wanted to do this one this week, but then I also happen to have this other beer, which is just different.
Okay. So let's try this one.
Hey, let's do it.
So this is the two-hearted one?
This is the two-hearted ale.
Okay. So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So we raise our glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
And his mother.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
It's an IPA, but... And it's definitely an IPA. When you drink it, you know it is.
Yeah.
But there's something else going on in this beer. There's a lot of IPAs.
It is full flavored.
They hit on the refreshing, and you know.
Well, it's like there's some that are like the grapefruit IPAs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Real puckery,
right.
Sour.
So it's like the summer IPAs.
And there's a little bit. There's some sour in here. Like you feel it in kind of the back of your mouth a little bit when you drink. You know,
yeah.
You can feel that
a little bit.
Like the back of my mouth, I can feel just those little muscles tightening up.
Okay.
When you have that sour flavor, but there is something else going. There's a robust. That's the best way I can explain it. However, let me explain it this way. In 2013, this beer was ranked the best IPA in the world. By ratebeer.com, who, if you are looking for a good review of a beer, that's a good place to go, ratebeer.com.
Mm-hmm.
So try this one out if you can find it. You can't really get it in Oklahoma, but if you go to Michigan, if you have a friend in Michigan, they can get it for you. Really anywhere in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Or probably the surrounding states. I haven't shopped in, you know, Indiana or anything.
We have some listeners in St. Paul, Minnesota. So
you can probably get it there.
Probably get it there. Dave.
They probably, if you're in that area, they probably know this beer.
Right. Yeah.
They know it
But
cold.
It's a treat for us.
Yeah.
And it is a treat. I mean, it is very good.
Before we started, Adam was like, well, why don't we just drink it? We didn't bring up beer glasses with us, so we're drinking these out of the Glencairn glasses at the moment. Adam said, why don't we just drink it out of the bottle? I said, no, dude, I'm saving these other two. We're only going to drink one.
He was being a little stingy.
Hey, I brought this from Michigan myself.
Hey, Dave, speaking of exotic beers, there's a guy named Jacob who is from Australia.
I know this guy.
He reached out to us.
I mean, I don't know him, but he's been Facebook messaging us.
Yeah, he reached out to us and has been listening to the Catholic Man Show from Australia. So... We are, like, in Australia now, so welcome, Jacob. I know you're listening.
G'day, Jacob.
And I'm sure he was offended by that.
No, that could have been good. not really sure how good your accent is.
But he was mentioning to us that, you know, most of the drinks that we try, he can't get over there. And so
said... That's too bad.
Yeah, I know, which is really...
So is it the Scotch selection just different over there, or...
Or maybe it's just the... I don't know. That's a good question.
I wonder if drinking is, you know, big in Scotland and America. Maybe it's not the thing.
Yeah, maybe.
They drink a lot of beer in Australia.
Jacob can reach out to us. I also know that they're
not.
Yeah,
let us know.
They're not like big Foster's fans. Like,
yeah.
I know that that's an American.
Did he tell us that?
No.
Somebody else. I recently saw this on Facebook. Someone was saying, "Yeah, we don't drink Foster's."
Right. It's kind of an American. Australian beer,
yeah.
If that makes sense. But anyway, Jacob is going to be sending us some beer to try on the show. So props to Jacob. In fact, let's just cheers to Jacob.
Cheers to Jacob.
Jacob, cheers to you, my man.
May God overlook every single one of your sins.
There you go. So
I like to give out phenomenal toast.
That was a pretty good one.
May you be canonized swiftly upon your death.
Mm. Yes.
And may it be a good death.
What would you want to be the patron of, Dave?
Dude.
If you were canonized a saint.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I would want to be actually I do. Just off the top of my head.
Okay, what?
I want to be the patron of gentlemen.
That would be a good one. I would want to be the patron of a very long list of things.
That have no connection to anything.
Biceps included.
Have no connection with each other.
There's a patron saint of biceps. You ever heard of David Niles? the holiest biceps of all time.
Oh man, you're funny.
My biceps really aren't that big, but in my mind, dude, they're huge.
That's because we got to tell Pamela to stop telling you that they're big.
Hey.
So, anyway.
She's allowed to think that.
You know what else?
There's
another guy we got to cheers to real quick.
Okay.
There's a guy, Steven.
Yeah, who's doing the El Camino.
Yeah, he's doing the...
Listening to the podcast.
Camino de Santiago.
Mm-hmm. The Way of St. James.
Yeah. In Spain. And he reached out to us saying, hey, I'm listening to your show. You guys are awesome. He sent us a pic of him drinking wine out of a seashell.
Yeah, that's right.
You can go to our Facebook page and check that out. But cheers to you, man. I know that that is a manly thing that you're doing, the walk.
May you be carried on the wings of angels to your destination.
A St. James prays for you.
To Stephen.
So
that beer is so good.
So if you, I know that we also have a Norway priest that's listening to us overseas.
Yeah.
If you are overseas, I know there's a couple of Poland guys as well. If you're overseas, or if you are in Canada or Mexico or Brazil or Japan, wherever you are, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. It's a lot of fun to connect with our listeners. Go to our Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. Check us out. We're going to open up the next beer on the other side of the break, and then get into the gear.
The man gear.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, the cool one.
I said it.
It's too late. It's already out there.
What does that make me?
Yep. That's right.
Mm.
The not cool one. Mm. Something other than the cool one, anyway.
So you're working on my sanctification. That is what you're doing.
You got a long way to go. You got a lot of progress that needs to be made.
But that's what you're doing.
What are friends for?
Thank you.
Trying to get you into heaven, you nerd.
I never would have thought that the day would come where you called me a nerd.
Because if you know us, I'm clearly the nerdy one. But if you know us, you know I'm also the cool one. So I don't know really. Anyway.
We're gonna digress big time with that,
dude. Your microphone fell off.
My microphone just came off.
That is so funny. So typically, Adam and I switched places. Typically, he's over there and I'm over here.
Which I feel very weird being over here.
And when we switch, he goes, good, I don't have to worry about my microphone falling off. Because the stand that's over here, it doesn't look left. The microphone will not look left. And we need it to. So we take a screw out and it's fine. But I cannot believe your microphone fell off.
Yeah.
Irony of ironies. Anyway.
That is.
I hope you guys enjoy that as much as I am.
They're not. But let's get to the other man beverage, because they will. I'm going to open it too.
No, we're only opening one. Trying to drink all my beer.
By the way, if you want to open up a beer and you have a tungsten carbide ring,
mm-hmm.
Use your wedding ring.
We should post on our YouTube channel that we have now.
Oh, tell them about it.
Dave, tell them about it. We have a YouTube channel. We're YouTube sensations. We have no followers as of this moment because we haven't loaded any videos. But
we will.
But tonight, once you hear this, there will be videos.
Yes.
So come and follow us on YouTube. It's going to be an adventure.
Or actually, I think you subscribe.
Subscribe. You're right. Yeah. Do whatever.
Get the lingo right.
You're right. I know. There's so much to keep track of these days.
I agree,
with MySpace and Facebook. There's just a lot of...
Yahoo.
Do you remember Facebook when you had like your top 8 friends?
Yeah. It's like, you didn't make it. You didn't make the cut.
Like a big deal when they expanded it to like your top 16.
Yeah.
And then your top 30. And then you could have like your entourage.
Sorry, Karen. You didn't make
it. Yep.
You didn't
listen,
make
listen,
the cut.
Karen, I know that we hang out, but I really don't like you.
Okay, Dave, let's get into this. Tell them what this is.
Okay. So a buddy of mine from high school that I met up with recently, Mike McCann, who listens to the show. Cheers.
Nice.
Cheers to Mike.
Yeah, because he served in the Marines.
He's still a Marine.
Right? He's a Marine.
Yeah, he's a Marine.
So cheers to you.
So
thank you for protecting us.
Yes.
And
a manly. We haven't even talked about that, but talk about manly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We will.
Thanks, will
be a topic.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
For the beer and for your service.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought this over.
Okay.
And I thought it was good. It's like not. It's kind of
weird.
Tell
them what it is.
We paired it with the Two Hearted. Two Hearted is like best in the world. This is just a good beer.
Okay.
It is Abita Purple Haze. So this is a raspberry flavored beer.
Is it an ale?
It's an ale.
Yeah.
They add raspberry puree after the filtration process.
No, it's a lager.
Oh, it's a lager?
It's a raspberry lager.
My mistake. But there's a raspberry there. I like these kind of beers personally. Just is my personal opinion.
I didn't know that about you.
To have kind of one in the beginning, you know, to
okay.
start. To
I didn't
start
realize you were going to have qualifications.
Oh,
to
yes.
To that statement.
This is just my preference. I don't want to drink whatever the flavor, if it's a fruit flavored beer, I don't want to drink that all night long.
Right.
And I think
not that you would drink all night long anyway, because that would
you know,
be moderation.
I mean, like, I'm not going to have that
multiple times
exclusively
right.
for the evening.
Right.
And I think really most people feel that way. But every now and then, one of these are just really nice, especially in the summer. There's something about just a hint of raspberry or what a little fruit
mm-hmm.
that just adds an element of refreshingness.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Think so, I think you're right.
Plus, raspberries are good for you, and so this beer is now a health food.
There you go.
It's a fruit.
I like the logic.
Right. So it's like, hey,
the logic is
honey,
there.
Honey, don't worry. I had a serving of fruit today. I had raspberries.
The logic is there. So Dave, on our YouTube channel, I think that you know a couple things that we're gonna do. We're going to showcase probably some man beverages on our YouTube channel.
Sure.
That'll be something that we do. It's basically going to be the video arm of the Catholic Man Show, right? It's going to be what, like, we provide the audio form. We're going to have the video form on YouTube. So if you enjoy mm-hmm. the show,
right.
you're probably going to enjoy the YouTube channel because we're going to highlight the man beverages. We'll do maybe some man gears that we highlight on the show. We'll maybe doing some of that. And we're also going to just be, like, have some funny clips.
You know what I'm just now realizing? I'm going to have to actually think about the shirt I wear over to your house to record. Like, you're in an undershirt, and I'm in a prison t-shirt. Like, literally, look at the back of my shirt.
Yeah.
It's a prison shirt. Actually, it's a family reunion shirt, but the theme...
There's so many questions that our listeners are...
We have these extravagant family reunions. I have this massive Catholic family, and we have themed dinners. One night, it was prison night, and so the particular sibling who is hosting made these cut off orange prison t-shirts for
nice.
Everybody. Yeah.
And I typically always wear whenever I'm at home, just my V-neck white t-shirt under. I mean, that's really what I wear basically every night.
I make this transition when I get home from work that I call high class to hobo because I wear a suit to work, you know,
right.
You know this, and then I get home, take it off and put on probably like the same thing I wore yesterday. You know,
right?
Because I only wore it for a few hours in the evening. It's
right.
not dirty,
right?
Per se.
So, Dave.
Hey, wait! I have to tell you something.
Okay.
I had cake for dinner.
That's it.
That's it. That's what I wanted to tell you. It was glorious. The
chocolate.
You know, we went over to Thomas's house last night.
Right. That cake that we brought.
Yeah. Did you try any?
Yeah, because that was the cake that was my dad's birthday was last.
You brought
week.
That cake?
Yeah.
Dude, that cake is awesome.
Yeah, my dad's birthday, he turned 55 this last week.
55.
Yeah.
Shiggity schwat.
So that was part of the leftover cake.
Well, dude, I had it for dinner, and I was like, I thought Katie made it.
No.
Thomas's wife. And it was just like, man, this cake is awesome. Because Katie is a dessert person.
She is.
She makes desserts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was right up her, it fit in. Anyway.
Dave.
Sorry, I digress.
That's
I
okay.
just wanted to tell you I had cake for dinner because I was really proud of it. Pamela was gone.
And you just did it.
I'm having cake for dinner. I'm a dude. There's cake in the house. Guess what I'm having for dinner?
Dave, how pumped are you about this weekend or this next weekend?
Super pumped.
Okay. We are going on a okay, it's a camping trip, but it's a man camping trip.
We are literally going to hunt for our food.
Yeah, so me and yourself and then our some of our buddies, Scott, Juan, Chad, Jared, there's a probably Sean.
Sean
probably,
Wyatt. Yeah,
there's probably 7 or 8 of us. They're all going to get together.
And Eddie, maybe?
Right.
Maybe Eddie?
Yeah. They're all going to go, and we're going to, the first night, we're going to feast. We're just going to have a bunch of food.
Our buddy Juan, who is from, well, he's Colombian, but he was raised in Venezuela anyway. He knows how to, he likes to cook. He's got something prepared for us.
Right, so we're going to do that on Friday night. And then Saturday, when we wake up, whatever we're going to eat, we have to catch.
We're hunting squirrels. If that's legal, we're going to have to find out.
We can't do it at a state park. It can't be at a state park.
You can't shoot squirrels at a state park?
No, you cannot.
Okay, so the squirrels are out. Dang it. That was like...
In fact, you can't hunt anything at a state park. It's a felony.
Even a squirrel?
It's a felony.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's why I knew that we had to look that up. But
yeah.
But we are going to get our fishing license.
I already got mine today.
Ooh, how much was it?
$25.
For what?
It only lasts for the rest of the year.
Okay, so you got the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have done that.
Well, it's $15 for 2 days.
It's
$15 for 2 days or $25 for the rest of the
year. I'm going the 2 days. I'm not going to go fishing.
Anyway, so the second day, we're only going to eat what we catch as men. It's going to be a lot of fun. We may do a lot of fasting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if fasting's the right word because, you know, we'll have beer. You know.
It'll be but very interesting.
We have got to get to the man gear.
Okay, dude, we only have like 2 minutes.
Oh, man, this is such a good man gear. The man gear today is the Ignatius Study Bible. Hand me that Bible.
Okay.
Give that to me.
Okay.
I'm holding it in my hands right now. This thing, this puppy is thick. When you
it's
hold
only
it,
the New Testament.
It looks like, oh, that's the whole Bible. But what you just said, it's just the New Testament. Here's what I want you to do. Go to your Catholic book and gift store. Buy local, okay? Buy local.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you have one nearby. Go there, open it, random page, and I'll bet you $20 that on that page that you open to, the commentary takes up more space than the Bible.
And who's the commentary by?
The commentary.
What a great question, huh?
Yes. I'm so glad you asked. It's by Scott Hahn and Curtis Mitch. Maps. By David Notley, if you know who those people are.
I think it's Notley.
Notley, maybe. I don't know who he is. But he's
heard
awesome
of Scott
at
Hahn.
Maps. Oh, man. But that David dude, he's good at maps.
Yeah, he does something with...
With maps. But Scott Hahn, right?
Right.
You have got to get this Bible. I know you have a Bible already. You need this Bible.
Yeah, it is a... Yeah, you're right.
Just open up any page, read the commentary, and it'll blow your mind.
It really will.
You just don't know the stuff.
Speaking of blowing your mind...
We're about to do that on the other side of this break. So seriously, wait with bated breath.
Get prepared.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, and we raise our glass. And today our glass is full of two-hearted ale and Abita Purple Haze. And now I know everybody has been on the edge of their seats waiting for the Babe Ruth of Catholic jokes. And so today I will give it to you. Right now.
No, you're not going to give us the... I thought you are the Babe Ruth of Catholic jokes.
Well, I was giving the joke.
Okay. It sounded like you were about to give us the Babe Ruth of Catholic jokes, which would be like...
No, I was already implying that I was that.
I see what you're saying.
Okay.
I'm glad, though, I clarified.
Yes. Clarifications are always good. Are you ready?
Clarity before agreement. Something like that. That's a thing. That's a thing.
That's what you're going to take up our airwaves with?
Hey, it's a thing.
Okay. All right, you ready?
I'm not sure, but but I will allow you to proceed.
Which biblical character was the best comedian?
Who?
Obviously Samson, because he brought the house down.
Yes, he did.
He was bringing down the house.
Yes, along with our ratings.
We don't even have ratings.
Well, that's bad.
So we're enjoying this beer, and we're also
just continue like that never happened.
Yeah, no. I want everybody to remember that. That was a good joke. That was a good one.
I've been reading about the Gospels.
And in your Ignatius Catholic Study Bible?
In my Ignatius Catholic Study Bible. And you know what? I really like this Jesus guy. I hope nothing bad happens to him.
That was a joke that your sister said.
I did learn that from my 15-year-old sister. But I thought it was good when she said it, so I thought maybe it'd be good if I said it.
Dude, my joke was way better. Samson was bringing down the house.
How long do you have to Google Catholic jokes, you know, to find a new one each week?
Zero time.
Zero time. Whatever.
All right, let's get into the topic. Come on, let's get
That's
into
true.
The man topic.
Actually, we need to.
This is a deep
topic. This is a biggie,
yeah,
so to speak. Okay.
Go ahead.
Today, we're talking about Jesus and the Jewish roots of the Eucharist. This is a book written by the man, Brant Petrie. Okay? If you don't know who Brant Petrie is...
Doctor.
Correct. Yes. Dr. Brant Petrie. You need to get familiar. Okay? Because this guy is crazy. He's written two books, and both of them just were blowing my mind.
He's a Scott Hahn protege.
Yeah, but he...
If you like Scott Hahn, you're going to like...
He's
Dr. Brant Petrie.
He is a scholar. I'm not sure if Scott Hahn is technically a scholar.
What?
I mean, he is scholarly out the wazoo. But I don't know if he is, by definition, a scholar, because that's not his profession. Dr. Brant Petrie is, by profession, a biblical scholar. Like,
dude, our Ignatius Study Bible, Scott Hahn.
Right. Okay.
Wrote the commentary.
Okay, maybe. I'm just saying I don't know.
Okay.
That's really what I'm saying.
Okay.
But Dr. Brant Petrie is, like, this is what he does for a living.
Okay.
He's scholarly.
Right.
For money.
And so does Scott Hahn.
Pay him.
He teaches
you're
at
right.
Steubenville.
You're right. Okay, you're right. But anyway, let's proceed.
He's really good, is really what we're
trying
to say.
I'm just trying to say.
If you don't have the book, you need to pick it up. Go to your local Catholic gift and bookstore, pick up Ignatius Study Bible and Jesus and the Jewish
Roots. So Dr. Brant Petrie has a specialization where he is... this is what I'm really trying to get at.
Okay.
He is more knowledgeable than Scott Hahn in this niche, or niche, however you want to say that word.
Wow. Bold claim.
Oh, and I'm absolutely making it. When it comes to Jewish traditions... and Jewish culture, Dr. Brant Petrie may be the most knowledgeable.
Okay.
Today. I don't know.
I don't have anything I can say about that because I can't make those claims.
Okay. So anyway, let's just keep going.
Yep.
So what we're going to talk about today is, what were the Jews of Jesus' time expecting the Messiah to be? What were they looking for? How would they have identified the Messiah when he revealed himself? Because if you know these things, it is just mind-blowing into the way you view Christianity today.
Right, because I think the issue, Dave, really is that we get stuck in this Americanized Christianity, or like what we're living in our culture right now, it's really hard to remove ourselves from today's culture mm-hmm. and put ourselves back into the way of living, which was so isolated compared to what we are now.
Right.
And put ourselves back into this is really what was happening back then, and this is how they were living, this is what they were believing, this is how they were living their lives.
Right. And I think when you read this book, I certainly realized, wow, when you start reading the Bible, you need to understand the Old Testament first before the New Testament is going to make sense. There
right.
are so many things in the New Testament that us as modern Christians don't get because we're not familiar with the audience that it was being written to.
Right.
You know,
and
the Gospels, most of them were written to a Jewish audience.
Right.
And so if you didn't know the customs of the time, there's a lot of stuff that you're missing. So anyway, let's talk about it.
Okay.
So that question, what kind of Messiah were the Jews expecting? I think a lot of people have heard that, oh, well, most people were expecting a political leader.
Right.
Right. And it seems like everybody's familiar with that idea. Turns out, yeah, there were a group of people, that's what they were expecting. They were called the Zealots, but they were really a minority. However, they were kind of just the loudest group.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, exactly. You know, today there are minorities who they're just the loudest and they get their way in the political realm of modernity. Two points for me
yeah.
for the word, okay?
Yeah.
So,
I was impressed.
That was not the view of most Jews of Jesus' time. So, let's talk about what it was they were expecting.
Okay.
They were expecting a new Moses.
Right.
Okay, so what would and because of that, they were expecting a new Moses to bring a new covenant, because that's what Moses did.
Mm-hmm.
They were expecting a new temple
mm-hmm.
and a journey to a new promised land.
Okay.
So I want to talk
this
about...
This is all typography, right?
Kind of. Because they happened in the Old Testament... That doesn't mean that they for sure happen in the New Testament, but that is what they were expecting.
Right. Okay.
So this is all pre-New Testament, you know?
Yeah.
And in this book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist, there's so much we're not going to have time to go into today. He quotes rabbi after rabbi after rabbi. He goes through the Mishnah and all of these old Jewish writings, kind of like the catechism for the Jewish religion at the time.
The Didache of the Jewish religion?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
More like the catechism, actually, because they were very long and described each belief in detail.
Okay.
So you've got to read the book. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this briefly today. Over the next week, I'm going to make a longer recording for our friends of the show.
Nice.
And go through in detail, more in detail, all of the points that we don't have time to go over. So become a friend of the show if you want to get the longer version of our talk today. Go to breadboxmedia.com, click on the Friends of the Show tab, and search for The Catholic Man Show. Sign up to donate $10 a month,
mm-hmm.
and we will send you a Glencairn glass.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that, and you'll have access to a lot of the exclusive content that we're going to start creating. So, and this is one of them. So anyway, the new Moses. In Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 18, I'm going to summarize. God is telling Moses on Mount Sinai that I am going to send a prophet like you. Go tell the people that I will send a prophet like me. That's what Moses said. That God will send a prophet like me to you. That's what he said to the people. Rabbi Berechiah. I want to make sure I said that right.
What a great dude.
Yeah, this is what he said back in the day. As the first Redeemer, Moses, was, so shall the latter Redeemer be. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass. Similarly, will it be with the latter Redeemer, as it is stated, lowly and riding upon an ass. That's Zechariah 9, verse 9. As the former Redeemer caused manna to descend, as it is stated, behold, I will cause to rain bread from heaven for you, so will the latter Redeemer cause manna to descend. That's Rabbi Berechiah. from a book called Ecclesiastes Rabbah 1, verse 28, back in the day. Okay. So the new Moses' actions...
Is this before the New Testament? Was that before...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Okay. I just want to make sure it wasn't
this
a Tuesday.
This is pre-Jesus.
Okay. Not a Tuesday.
Correct. It could have been a Tuesday.
Right.
Or a wish day or something. I don't know. They probably have a different word for it. Jewish words, I think, are always pretty cool. I like the Jewish pronunciation.
Way better than Gaelic.
Yeah, dude. Gaelic doesn't make... It's just... I like what Patrick Coffin said. They're drunk. Anyway, so the new Moses' action would parallel the old Moses.
Okay.
And we're going to have to leave it here.
Okay.
We've got a lot to get through after the break. So, buckle down, because we're going to be doing it.
I'm pumped.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles with Adam Minahan. We are the Catholic Men of the Catholic Man Show.
I like the way that sounded.
It's what it is, just the truth. We are drinking Two Hearted Ale and Abita Purple Haze, both of which have been really good this evening. We've got a lot to cover still. And remember, this is the shortened version. This is as compact as I could make this. Okay, so we were talking about the new Moses that the Jews were expecting. Jesus is obviously going to be the new Moses. Spoiler alert. So anyway, they were really looking for a new Moses, a new covenant, a new temple, and a new journey to the promised land. So the new covenant. The old covenant was sealed with blood and concluded with a heavenly banquet. So they get to the Mount Sinai. Moses takes blood, throws it on the people, and says, "This is the blood of the covenant," and then goes up the mountain with like Aaron and then 70 of the elders, and it says they were with God. They beheld God and ate and drank. That's Exodus 24 verses 5 through 11. You really should go and read that.
What do you think that dinner party was like?
Dude, right? And then it even talks about how like they beheld God and he didn't kill us.
Yeah.
You know, like we looked at God and he didn't kill us. Like,
right.
That was awesome. So anyway, they beheld God and ate and drank as part of this covenant. Sounds awfully Eucharistic. And so Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with Israel, not like the one I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt." That's Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33. That's the new covenant. So that's why the Jews were expecting it, because there already was a covenant, but God said he's going to make a new covenant with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, and this is the question that Jews would have asked, will the new covenant be like the old? Will it be sealed in blood and conclude with a heavenly banquet? Good question.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's the new temple. The old temple had three rings. There was the outer court, that's where the people would gather.
Mm-hmm.
There was the holy place that had a couple of sacred items. They had the golden lampstand or the menorah.
Okay.
The golden altar of incense and the golden table of 12 cakes, which held the bread of the presence. We cannot get into this. The bread of the presence is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to get the extended version of this talk to hear about the bread of the presence or buy the book, which is really what you should do. So then the inner ring of the temple was the Holy of Holies, which held the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark was the staff of Aaron that had sprouted, the tablets or the Ten Commandments, and then the manna. The manna was so sacred to them,
mm-hmm.
and God told them to take an ephah, which is, I assume, an amount, and put it in the Ark of the Covenant. Those are all three types of Jesus, by the way. The staff, the...
Well, because it was in the Ark of the Covenant.
Right, yeah. So it's like in the Ark, the three mm-hmm. types of Jesus, because
right.
Mary is the real Ark who
right.
held Jesus.
Right.
That's a totally different thing. So then the future temple, according to Haggai 2, verses 6 and 9, talks about the new temple, being greater than the old, even greater than the Temple of Solomon. This is huge. For the Jews to have heard something like this, this would have been almost an outrage, or, you know, how dare you
almost
say
heresy.
This? Yes, exactly. Because the temple is where God lives. Mm-hmm. What could be greater than God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the dwelling place of God.
Yeah, where the Solomon Temple, which is like, you know, the temple of temples.
The most beautiful.
The Taj Mahal of temples.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. So what could be greater than God? How about God in the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they didn't know that yet. You know,
right.
They hadn't figured it all out, but they knew kind of what to look for. So then there's the new promised land. The prophet Nathan, who is the prophet at the time of David, he said, God promises to appoint a place for my people and to plant them that they may dwell in their own place. Now, you might think, oh, that's talking about the promised land of Israel. Well, they were already in Israel when this prophecy came about. So obviously there's a new promised land. So this is why the Jews were expecting all of these things. Ezekiel describes the future promised land as being like the Garden of Eden. That's in Ezekiel 36, 33 through 35. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then there's the journey to the promised land. The journey would have been led by a miracle worker like Moses,
mm-hmm.
and the manna would have been a very crucial part to that journey. So they believed that when the Messiah returned, he would bring the manna.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would be the new Moses. The manna and Moses were so linked.
And manna, didn't they believe that the manna was already in existence?
Yes. Yes, so we'll get to that.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But you're correct.
Okay.
So if Jesus was expecting there to be a new Exodus.
No, Jesus, not Jesus.
No, Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was expecting a new Exodus.
I mean, he was expecting a new Exodus. He's there to bring about the new Exodus.
Okay.
So for us,
wasn't following
as, you know, readers of the Bible, how do you think he would have expected that Exodus to begin?
Well, with a new Passover.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
New Passover, new Exodus.
Dots are connecting.
Okay. So let's talk about the manna. You brought it
okay.
up.
Okay.
The Jews believed three things about the manna.
Mm-hmm.
They believed it was supernatural. Mm-hmm. It was a miracle. It's miraculous bread.
Super substantial.
Well, we'll get to the super substantial. You're jumping the gun a little
sorry,
bit there.
Sorry.
They believed it was pre-existent. This is what you were saying. So they believed that the creation of the world, the manna was already existing. And so during the fall of man, the manna was actually kept in the heavenly temple and was spared from the sin of Adam because it wasn't part of this earth and it had already existed. Sort of like Jesus, you know, the only begotten son from the beginning.
Consubstantial with the Father.
So they also believed that the Messiah would bring the manna back. Those are the three things. Supernatural, pre-existent, the Messiah is going to bring back the manna. Okay. Let me read this to you.
Okay.
This is from 2 Baruch 29, 3 and 6 through 8. And it will happen that when all that which should come to pass in these parts is accomplished, the Messiah. So this is not biblical. This is
right,
another
this is
extra
Jewish,
biblical. This
yeah.
is a Jewish extra biblical work. The Messiah will begin to be revealed, and those who are hungry will enjoy themselves, and they will, moreover, see marvels every day. And it will happen that at that time, that the treasury of manna will come down again from on high, and they will eat of it in those days, because they are those who will have arrived at the consummation of time. So the manna from on high will be descending on earth. This, I mean, so you're a Jew. This is what you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you're a Jew. There's this Jesus dude, and he's walking around, and you're following him because he's performing miracles. Then you're with him one day in the middle of nowhere, and he needs to feed you. There's 5,000 of you, and he feeds you. Okay? If you read the Bible, it's clear they think he's the Messiah. In fact, he has to run away because they're ready to take him off.
You mean after the 5,000?
He feeds the 5,000.
Right.
Those people are like, that's the Messiah. There he is. They recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
So then later they come to him and say, Moses performed gave us the manna in the desert. What miracles can you perform? And so they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave it to you, but my Father in heaven. And then they said, the bread that I will give is my life. Lord, give us this bread always. That's from the Gospel of John. So then he gives them the Our Father. Think about this. You're a Jew. This is what you're expecting. And Jesus says, this is how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Mm-hmm. You know, they're expecting a new kingdom, a new, you know, to be led to this new promised land.
Right.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy give us this day our daily bread. But this word daily is epiosis in Greek. I can't pronounce it. But it's a word that's never showed up before this time, and it literally translates as super substantial or miraculous. Give us, because otherwise you'd say, give us this day our daily bread. What? That's kind of redundant. Give us today our bread today. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
So you're a Jew. You hear Jesus, who's feeding the 5,000, performing miracles, say, say a prayer. We're asking for the kingdom to come about. Give us miraculous daily bread, which was the manna. Okay, even before, in the prayer, you say, forgive us our trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obvious to these Jews. And a lot of people think, how come the Jews didn't convert? And, you know, like, why is it that all these Jews were resistant? Well, that's actually not what happened. You look at the Bible narratives, and it tells stories of thousands of Jews converting in one day.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Jews in mass, in droves, were converting to Christianity. Mm-hmm. And it's because they all could see that Jesus was fulfilling all of these prophecies about what the Messiah was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's why Christianity took off like wildfire, because everybody knew Jesus is the dude.
This is what we were expecting, and it's happening.
And so for Protestants today who say the Eucharist is just a symbol, it can't be a symbol, because the old manna in the desert was miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
It was a miracle. And it's clear it was a miracle. So for the new manna of the New Testament to be just a symbol, that means that the new archetype of the new covenant is lesser than the Old Testament version, which is never the case in biblical archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament version is always greater than the Old Testament. The new Adam, Jesus, is better than the old Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are example after example after example.
Dave, and my favorite part is, you know, because this is around the Eucharist, which is the source and summit of our faith.
Yes.
And once you understand this, then it's like a eye-opening experience of the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
I love this topic.
So you have to read this book. Mm-hmm. It will blow your mind and open you up to the culture of Jews, which is just sheds so much new light on who we are as Christians.
So you're going to have to check out the Redbox Media for the new friends of the show. You'll have the video posted up. We drank some Two-Hearted Ale, some Abita
Purple Haze.
We're going to go camping and read our Ignatius Study Bible.
I'm glad we got through it all.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.